Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a terrific day today. Stuff going on as it always is, and we're just cooking right along over down here in Health Masters, pushing product out for you guys, taking care of you, getting your shipments out on time as best as we can. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. The chemtrails were so bad today that I wanted to go out with a double can respirator mask. But I'm looking out there now. They're trying to clear up a little bit. So, yeah, so we'll figure out who's running the world when this thing stops with the chemtrails. But what's your first story? You got something on Bitcoin.
Well, the first thing, I've been doing a lot of research on this stuff, and you guys pretty much know my entire take on it, and this is not something that you've heard me talk about yet to an extent. We've alleged this, but now we're getting more information. As you guys have seen, since December, the tumble in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies erased around $500 billion in market value over the past month. Most digital currencies, they're saying now, are unlikely to survive in their current form, and investors should prepare for coins to lose all of their value as they're replaced by a small set of future competitors. And that was from Goldman Sachs' head, Steve Strongman. He just reported last week. He said, the high correlation between the different cryptocurrencies worry me because the lack of intrinsic value, the currencies that don't survive will most likely trade to zero. Today's digital coins lack long-term staying power because of slow transaction time, security challenges, and high maintenance costs. Now, here's what is funny about this. 3 months ago, a lot of these same people were saying, Bitcoin's the new currency. Put all your money in Bitcoin. Bitcoin's the best thing out there right now. You're going to double your money. You're going to triple your money. You're going to quadruple your money. You're going to make billions of dollars. People were screaming this from the rooftops. And, of course, the few select people that were involved in it from the bottom would cash out, and they would cash in hundreds of millions of dollars and be like, I'm a multimillionaire now. I bought, you know, $10,000 of Bitcoin 3 years ago. Now I'm worth $500 million, blah, blah, blah. People started mortgaging their houses and so forth. You know the whole story. Well, we had told you guys before that we had a very strong reason to believe, and so we had a few people basically tell us that a lot of the cryptocurrency stuff was either directional, being directed by the CIA or the Federal Reserve or other aspects of it. And, you know, I could never get really direct information. There was a lot of speculation, but a lot of it made sense. Well, now, from what I'm finding here, I'm going to do some more research on this, but a Russian cybersecurity agent, Natalia Kopernsky, according to slides obtained from a recent presentation she just gave at ITMP University in St. Petersburg, she is now stating that Bitcoin was actually created by various government agencies as a covert tool for bringing to fruition their globalist agenda. She states, and I quote, Bitcoin is a project of American intelligence agencies, which was designed to provide quick funding for the U.S., British, Canadian, and Israeli intelligence activities in different countries, one of Kopernsky's slides states, as evidenced by photos shared. She said that technology is privatized, just like the internet, the GPS, and TOR. In fact, it is the dollar 2.0. Its rate to control is by the owners of the exchanges. She goes, as for Satoshi Nakamoto, which, remember, for the whole time now, he was supposedly the originator of Bitcoin, multi-billionaire, if not trillionaire, blah, 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 whole aspect. She said, as for Satoshi Nakamoto, the man credited with creating Bitcoin, Kopernsky said that she is almost confident he is not even a real person. During her talk, the cybersecurity guru claimed that Nakamoto is actually a code name for a collective of American cryptographers who represent the real developers of the base Bitcoin. Kopernsky also went after smartphones during her presentation. She said, claiming that they are not, in fact, personal devices at all, as many people believe. She said, instead, smartphones are very covert secret spy tools used by the CIA and other intelligence agencies to track and monitor users as they go about their daily lives in every aspect of what they do. She said, the recent many Bitcoin mini crash was essentially a tool, A, to bring in a new type of currency, is exactly what we talked about, and also, two, as a tool to generate a massive amount of quick cash for the black op budget and the other various agencies I just mentioned a minute ago. She said, unfortunately, though, at the same time, she and others admit that Bitcoin is more than likely here to stay. It is essentially the dollar 2.0. Now, this is pretty much what we had talked about before, just not as much detail. And so what you guys have to realize, this was a brilliant strategy from the deep state. Brilliant. I got to give them kudos for this. Come out with a digital currency, get the bugs worked out of it for the first couple of years, throw it on the market, let futures speculate on it, and allow the stuff to literally explode all the way from a few dollars a coin to $100 a coin to $1,000 a coin, and then spike up in 1 year from $1,000 a coin to $20,000 a coin. Remember, it did that. Beginning of 2017, it was trading for around $1,000 a coin. At the end of December, middle of December, it was almost at $20,000 a coin. Now it's back down to around $7,000 a coin, about $500 billion in market capital essentially been lost on the cryptocurrencies just in the last month. But what a brilliant idea if you're a sadistic globalist to take more money from the population so you can fund more black ops with another almost $500 billion, and at the same time test your new digital cryptocurrency to get the bugs worked out of it and see how it goes. But like I said, we have been speculative on this before, but we can never prove it as far as the actual maker of this. The Nakamoto, Dad had talked about it, I had talked about it, but from her research and her intel and the people she's talked to, Nakamoto is not even a person. It's a fictitious person, and is used as a code name for all the American cryptographers that essentially built the blockchain and Bitcoin before they released it on the market, Dad.
You know, there's got to be a special place in hell for these people. I mean, hell.
Usury, man.
Like, I'm talking like the ninth level of Dante's Inferno. I'm talking the ninth level of hell. I'm talking to so far down into hell that these guys won't ever see a glimmer of light again. I mean, think about this. We've got all of these cutouts. We got Gates. We got Soros. We got Zuckerberg. We got Bezos. Now we got Nakamoto, right? We got all of these guys that are all CIA, MI6, Mossad operatives, all running through the Sabbatai and Kabbalah's blank banking network that are set up out there as cutouts to do their operations and be the faceplate so that the main people, the Rothschild group, doesn't get blowback and end up getting hung on the courthouse steps. That's saying a lot, by the way, in a paragraph. Now, we have a reporter here in Russia saying that Bitcoin is a CIA, MI6, and Mossad scam which stole $500 billion for black operations, and the originator is a complete fake. Nobody even exists by the name of Nakamoto unless it was a general or an admiral in World War II with a Japanese Navy. Now, that's what we've got going on here. Now, you know, it's funny to me because last night I was watching that 2001 A Space Odyssey, which for the life of me, I still can't figure out. And I mean, I've watched that movie since 1967, 68, Stanley Kubrick did. And I'll never forget it when they were turning Hal off last night. I always like it when they turn Hal off because that house is really a renegade computer. As he's floating around, they're turning off Hal. And finally, he starts counting backwards. Finally, he starts singing. And you know what he says? Here's what he says. He goes, "Well, the person who programmed me was Dr. Langley. Langley. Langley, Virginia, home of the CIA. Kubrick knew who was running the show. He knew what was going on. He knew what happened with the Apollo mission. He knew what he was involved in with these guys. He knew what happened with fluoride. He did all these different movies. He did Clockwork Orange. He did Eyes Wide Shut. He did 2001 A Space Odyssey. And he also did the one back with Slim Pickens, basically the one in which we got the nuclear bombs dropped. And the reason they were fighting the war was because of the fluoride. Now, here's the thing about all of this stuff, guys. These people know what they're doing. They're bringing in $1.5 trillion a year by running all this Afghan heroin into the United States on their C-130 transport planes. But that's not enough. They've got to start a cryptocurrency to do a blockchain beta test to go ahead and extract another $500 billion, $500 billion from the unsuspecting population, global population around the planet, including many Americans who fell into this trap as of last year and started mortgaging their homes, taking cash advances on their credit cards at 18, 20, 24, 25, 30%, wherever the state is and whatever they allow. And all of these people are going to become multi-billionaire, Bitcoin millionaire, billionaires. And then we have these Bitcoin millionaires start showing up, and the first Bitcoin billionaire starts going up, and all of a sudden they start promoting the purchase of Bitcoin from central banks. Why? It's because they want to take your stuff. They want everybody's stuff. They want to take your stuff, my stuff, Austin's stuff, everybody's stuff. That's why I said, ninth circle of hell, Dante's Inferno, that's where these guys belong. I don't even know what to say. Quite frankly, it doesn't surprise me. We warned and warned and warned you, our listeners, please don't do this. If you've got money you've made, pull your principal back out. If you want to gamble around with your principal, that's up to you. But don't gamble with, if you want to gamble with your gains, that's up to you. But don't gamble with your principal. Guys, it's so important that we think through these Ponzi schemes and we think through these scams. If something sounds too good to be true, chances are it's not true or it's illegal. One of the two things, it's either not true or it's illegal. Because you don't get those types of real world returns. It's like right now, in the stock market, I'll cover that in a few minutes with what's going on and how we have all this black money going into the markets now from the central banks, buying up their own stocks, pushing up their own portfolios, basically buying the entire stock market for the Federal Reserve banks around the world in the event that the entire thing collapses. They still own all the industry. That's what these guys are doing. That's what they've always done. Now, another article. German refugee worker admits she was wrong. She worked with Muslims, and now she is moving to Poland. I'm going to read you what she says. Germany, Rebecca Sommer, founded the refugee aid organization Working Group Asylum Plus Human Rights in 2012, which welcomed refugees to her country and, along with more than 300 volunteers, taught them German to help them integrate. She firmly believed they were fleeing a war-torn hell. She finally understands that the immigrants are invaders who have zero intention of integrating and adopting Western values. Now she's planning to escape Germany to go into Poland, saying that it is too late for Germany. I mean, this is incredible that these people have been brainwashed. Here's what she says. With the initial hope that their medieval view was going to change with time, she soon realized that Muslim refugees have grown up with values that are totally different. They have undergone brainwashing from childhood on and are indoctrinated by Islam and absolutely do not intend to adopt German Christian values. She also observed how the migrants regard we infidels with disdain and arrogance after they began to refer to her as the stupid German whore, quote unquote. A realization that she says has led other refugee volunteers to also quit. She now admits that despite her good intentions, she got it completely wrong and that the Muslim migration poses an existential threat to Germany and to their way of life, a problem that will only be exacerbated by the process of family reunification, that's that basically the chain migration, where migrants will be able to invite their relatives to stay in Germany by the millions. If Poland, and here's a question, here's another quote from her, if Poland and Hungary do not give in on this question, you could become countries that some Germans and French will flee to. In other words, she's saying that Germans and the French are not going to flee to Poland and Hungary. Then she goes, if you could become islands of stability in Europe, said Sommer, noting that she had personally been attacked 5 separate times by Arab-speaking men. Indeed, fearful of sexual assault is now commonplace in Germany. That jogging shorts emit a high-pitched alarm, which are triggered, are selling like hotcakes. These shorts have a non-cuttable wire cable in the belt strap, the loop, that is locked down and clamped by a padlock, which you do not keep the key with on your person, that you leave in your apartment. The pants are reinforced with Kevlar fibers and aluminum steel fibers in the crotch and in the back and tightened around the buttocks so they cannot be pulled down over the hips because they're tied by the cord around the waist up high so the migrants can't cut the pants off and rape you. Now, this is the hell that Germany has put itself in. This is what Germany has done because that blithering communist, that stinking Stasi police, that stinking lowlife, Angela Merkel, who was raised in communist East Germany, who hated Germany, who love communism, and these idiots in Germany allowed the Rothschild banking cartel to come in and to destroy this country through this chain migration with millions and millions and millions of men who want to rape the women so badly they have to padlock their Kevlar pants on so they can't be raped. What kind of hell are these people living in Germany, Austin, and why have they done this to themselves?
Wow, that's intense, man. I mean, when you're starting talking about having to wear anti-rape pants all the time, I mean, that's, I know that sounds almost comical, like that can't be happening, that can't exist, but this is exactly what we were just hollering about 3 years ago in 2015 when these guys were coming in the hordes, and everybody goes, oh no, it's the women and children. They need help from these countries. They're bringing in women and children. And I said, why is it every single photo that I see of these giant hordes coming into Europe is 95% young males, usually in the late teens, early 20s? I said, I'm looking at photos. Almost every photo I see, the most you see is like two or three women, or like one child is a 4 or 5 year old boy. I said, they're all males. They all left. They just left. And I said, this is what you guys are promoting, and this is exactly what has happened now, man. As sad as it is, this is what's going on in Europe. And see, this is what Obama was trying so hard to do with his immigration policy and relocating these guys from the Middle East into Europe. Remember, they were bringing in tens of thousands of these guys into Europe, into the United States. For the last couple of years, they've been doing, continue to do it. I still think they're doing it, but it's just not as prevalent. It's not as much as it is because of a lot of the executive orders Trump put in. I mean, think about it. If the agenda wasn't so strong to try to turn the United States into the same thing that's happened to Europe, why did so many basically governors, state representatives, judges file injunction orders against Trump when he basically came in and said, I'm putting a halt on this immigration for 90 days or 120 days until we can vet these guys. Oh, you can't do that. That's illegal. No, you actually legitimately can do that. We're going to put a halt on immigration from these countries right now. No, we're going to file basically all the stuff, blah, 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 blah. Can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. Why are you so concerned about bringing in hundreds of thousands of people from the Middle East into the United States, unvetted and unchecked, unless you are trying to bring your agenda, the George Soros agenda, the globalist agenda? So I told you guys yesterday, I was so excited when I read that thing from Hungary, while the prime minister and everybody over there said, this is ridiculous. We're not doing anything to support more migration in this country. If you guys want to do that, we're stepping away from the table. We're not going to negotiate anymore. We're going to annex ourselves into our own country. We're going to step out of the EU, and we're going to put up another wall around our country just because we can. That's how adamant they are about it. And the sad part is, it doesn't have to be this way. The liberal, that communist mindset wants to do everything they can to take from the middle class and spread the wealth. That's what they want to do. Spread the wealth to everybody else that hasn't worked. And the problem is, you don't realize at the end of the day, all you end up having is peasants and serfs. Nobody has any money because the people that got it for free don't want to work anymore to get more. They just want more money from the people that continue to work. And finally, the people that continue to go, this is nuts. I don't know why I'm working. I'm basically working for free and working to feed these guys that don't work. So I'm just not going to work either. How about that? How about none of us work and we just get free stuff? And the problem is that doesn't work. So this is real. I mean, and we see this already up in Minnesota, up in Michigan. There's Dearborn, Michigan now. You guys could do your research on that. I mean, that's almost an entirely Muslim community up there now, fully. You can't even go do anything up there. I mean, there's videos of Christians walking around, open Christians, walking around with Bibles, crucifixes on their neck, trying to talk about Christ, trying to talk about the crucifixion, the blood of Christ, being saved through salvation through Jesus Christ. And they're literally groups of roving Muslims that are around them screaming, cursing, yelling, and hitting them to the point when they're walking around this basically this, it's like a, it was like a, not like a circus, but basically like a little expo. They're getting so lambasted, they're getting so yelled at, so accosted by these Muslims, the police finally show up and say, Christian guys, you basically have to leave the premises, or we're going to have to trespass warn you. You're causing too much of a disturbance here. You're causing too much of a problem. And they go, What do you mean? We're literally walking around. We've literally not done anything but walked around or attempted to freely, unmolested on our way. And the cops go, yeah, I know, guys, but you're literally about to start a riot here. These guys are about to stone you to death if you don't leave, and we can't have that. You guys are going to have to leave. And literally kick them out. Kick them out. So you guys got to go. Kick them out because the Muslims are so unruly. Instead of trying to deal with them and put them in their place and try to make them learn that you actually have to have some type of constitutional law. You can't run around screaming, cussing, and hitting people just because you don't agree with their religion. They don't want to do that. They would rather let these guys completely take over subsections of the United States to the point now that we've had a Minnesota police officer kill a woman in cold blood out of his police cruiser. He was in it. She walked up. He shot her point blank, killed her, and he's refusing to give any type of testimony whatsoever, and they don't know what to do with him. And they're so afraid they're going to have a massive Muslim backlash if they actually prosecute this guy. And they're scared. Right. They're flat. I read it the other day. They don't know what to do because if they start to process him and basically go through and put him in front of a jury, even though he won't testify, all the evidence is there pointing that basically he committed cold-blooded murder. They're going to have literally a full-blown Muslim riot on their hands if this guy gets convicted for murder, which he should, in my opinion, from the evidence that I have seen. And that's what's going on right now. And so they don't even know what to do with him. That situation happened, what, 6, 7, almost 8 months ago now, I think? Still nothing. Nothing has happened. They still have it. Will not charge him with anything formally yet, and that completely blows my mind, Dad, and it's really sad that that's where we've stooped down to now in this country.
You know, Kevlar pants, basically bulletproof shorts, basically can't cut through the fibers, steel-reinforced crotches, tied across your waist, bolted down with a padlock, a non-cuttable doggone cable lock. I mean, what the heck? What part of that is okay with these idiots living in Germany? And I'm sorry, guys. These are my family members over there. I don't even know what happened to them. I guess all these people got dropped on their head after World War II when they were babies, and they basically decided not to try to do anything that was right anymore. I can't figure this stuff out. I'm just happy at this point my grandfather came over in 1880 from Germany, and my DNA from my Y chromosome didn't get all screwed up with this mess. What a mess. I mean, these guys, they won't even stand up for themselves over there and allow that Angela Merkel to continue to drag these millions. When I talk to these people, my relatives, now these are my relatives, I got a good relative over there, a good friend of mine, looks like me for heaven's sakes, and he tells me, oh no, the migrants are good for Germany, this is good for us. And I'm like, dude, what planet are you living on? What do you think about your 3 or 4 daughters that you have if they start getting raped by these guys? Oh no, that won't happen. I said, dude, are you not reading the paper? Well, that's the problem. In Germany, you start posting stuff on social media about what's going on with these guys, that's hate speech. Because of what happened with the concentration camps. You can't talk about the Nazis. You can't talk about the concentration camps. You can't talk about the Fatherland. You can't talk about the Third Reich. Those are verboten Worte, they're words, forbidden words. You can't use those words because they want to pretend like that part of their history never happened. It just didn't happen. We don't know what you're talking about. We were never taught this stuff. It's like in the United States. Most high schools now don't even teach pre-Civil War American history. That's a fact. They don't even teach. They start like in 1880. Because they don't want to talk about why the South rebelled against the North and what the Northern aggression was all about and what was going on with the Rothschild banking cartels in the middle of all this. They don't want to talk about that. So they just delete it from the history books. So it's better just to delete it from the history books and pretend like the communists didn't come in from Russia to Germany and pretend like none of that stuff ever happened that fomented World War II. Let's pretend like none of it ever happened with the Versailles Treaty. We'll pretend like none of it ever happened and everything's happy, happy, happy as we wear our Kevlar shorts so our pants can't be cut off of us. So our women can't be raped by gangs of migrant gang-raping hordes. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I got to get off this topic. I got to stay off this topic. Israel. Now, this is more fake news. I'm giving you fake news now. This is fake news. Israel is now blaming George Soros for fomenting opposition to deportation of Africans. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is accusing Jewish, the well-hated Jewish billionaire George Soros, a Rothschild cutout, as well as Netanyahu, of being behind the campaign to stop Israel from deporting 38,000 illegal Africans who infiltrated from Africa by telling them they're going to go into prison if they don't take $3,500 and a plane ticket. So Israel has got so much blowback by saying this, by saying, get out, you go into prison, we're giving you $3,500, go back to that pit that you're from and stay out of Israel. We don't want you here at all, ever. That's what they're saying. So rather than assuming this blowback because of what he is doing with Netanyahu, he spins it. He spins it now and says, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is blaming everybody's favorite person to hate, George Soros, for fomenting opposition for deportation of Africans. Newsflash for everybody listening. Most of the people who live in Israel are nationalists. They don't want people from other cultures or religions coming in who aren't Judaic, who aren't Jewish. They don't want that. They're willing to deport them forcibly or put them into prison in order to accomplish that goal. Newsflash. That hit the mainstream media over in Europe. They have now massive amounts of damage control to do. So now they're blaming it on everybody's villain, George Soros, not thinking through the fact that the Rothschild banking cartel, their fiefdom is Israel. They're the fiefdom through the Balfour Declaration. They're the fiefdom through World War I and World War II and the League of Nations. And that George Soros is the cutout that's being used to consolidate us into a one-world government through the Rothschild banking cartel. And their headquarters is primarily in Tel Aviv, which is the number one homosexual destination in the world, with 25% of the population there being gay, with thousands of brothels, including homosexual brothels, all over Tel Aviv, because this is where these people go to do their little weird stuff they like to do. And so this is the blowback that they're now blaming on George Soros. What a crock. And you know what, guys? The problem is most people don't understand what he just did. He just circumvented what's going on. He's saying, it's George Soros doing all this, not, hey, we have this policy of anti-immigration that we're going to put you in prison if you don't leave with a plane ticket. He takes and blame shifts it and puts it on George Soros. From a political standpoint, smooth move. From a moral standpoint, what a sack of beep, beep, beep. I tell you what, guys, this Netanyahu guy, he's a different special level of weird, man. Can't stand the guy. Austin, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That is crazy. I mean, pretty much, it's just a lot of this stuff, man, it boggles my mind how contradictive some of this stuff is, as far as these guys are basically, you have to do this, you need to do that, you need to follow this, but we're not going to do anything with that. We're not going to do this. We don't have to follow the same laws. Same way goes with a lot of stuff in our government body. It's absolutely ridiculous. Also, too, though, in other numbers I wanted to talk about, I just got this article a little bit ago, just to kind of give everybody a heads up of what's going on. I've already told you guys the market's been rather weird. A lot of people have been asking about what I think. Can't really give you my honest opinion because I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but just got the numbers in from November. U.S. credit card debt has just surpassed the previous all-time high that was hit in July 2008, just before everything broke loose when Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy 2 months later. That was November. November 2017, highest credit card debt in history. Meanwhile, non-revolving credit, which is with the exception of one definition of change per month, has never gone down. It hit a new all-time high in December of $2.813 trillion, a monthly increase of $13.3 billion. Student debt hit another all-time high of $1.49 trillion. We're literally at $1.5 trillion for student debt now. And auto loans hit another all-time high of $1.1 trillion as well. So we're seeing the amount of debt, student loans, auto loans, credit card loans are literally reaching all-time highs right now. Bitcoin's collapse. All this stuff is going on right now. So there is a very good possibility that we are about to see another 2007-2008 repeat in the near future. Just be aware of that. I'm not doing any doomsday or giving you a day, this and that. I don't do that because I don't believe in that because I simply don't know. I really have no idea. All I'm doing is looking at the markets, and I'm looking at this, and I'm telling you guys, be very, very careful what you do as far as with large amounts of cash right now, especially with banks as well. You know, make sure you have, and just in my opinion, I'm not giving you any financial advice, but make sure you have things diversified. So to speak, don't have all your eggs in one big basket that you can't touch, because if something does occur, you don't really have an out. Everything's in one spot. Everything's in one place. So just be aware of that. I wanted to address that as well. Also, too, states now, anti-gun states are pretty much going at anything they can do against gun owners now. Basically, in late January, a few weeks ago, a Colorado teacher, while traveling into New York, was arrested by authorities at the airport in Albany, ALB, as she declared her legally owned and correctly packaged for travel pistol in her checked baggage that completely met all TSA requirements. Once she went to submit to Southwest Airlines, security was immediately called on her, local police department came in, and they arrested her and confiscated the weapon immediately. TSA enforces federal law, so they don't care. As long as you're following federal law, they're happy. But local authorities enforcing state law, the illegal, unconstitutional state law, made the arrest after Southwest Airlines turned her in. This is just the latest in the endless series of arrests made by state authorities in New York, New Jersey, and California of hapless out-of-state gun owners who made the mistake of trying to fly out of ALB, JFK, LGA, and EWR, who voluntarily reported their guns to local police, naively thinking they were less compliant with local laws. There was another incident even occurring in New York where a person in possession of empty magazines, because they were 30-round magazines they were traveling through, they basically found them in their suitcase. 30-round empty magazines, no firearm, no ammunition whatsoever. The dude basically forgot them in his bag, was arrested for possession of felony capacity magazines, guys. This is insane how these dominated states, the ones that are dominated by Democrats and liberals, are completely bent on making it as difficult as possible to be able to defend yourself, even when you can't even defend yourself. The gun's locked up, secured, completely locked. You're basically sending it through to get it to another state. And people have to understand, it's not even worth, honestly, in my opinion, traveling to a state with these guns with guns anymore. If you have to travel to these states for an absolute reason, like for a business meeting that you can't get out of, you better learn how to fight. I'll tell you that. And I learned that a long time ago. I was in shoe fighting, jiu-jitsu, karate, taekwondo, a ton of that when I was younger. Dad put me in it. And that's your best bet. Learn how to have very close quarter self-defense and defensive maneuvers on how to get people away from you and defend yourself, because these states right now are going to start making it a point, a very specific point, to arrest people who are trying to travel freely on their way if any law at all is broken, even unconstitutional, when it comes to guns. When I told you guys last week, I talked about this on the Hagmann Show, that 81,000 gun owners have not followed the February 1st, 2018 New York requirement, forcing those gun owners to basically register their handgun, serial number, everything about it, get photo IDs, all this whole charade of stuff they have to do, 81,000 of them. And now what me and Joe had talked about on the Hagmann Show is we both agreed they're not going to start going house to house, 81,000 residences, and start confiscating weapons. A, it would be a political nightmare. B, it would be a logistical nightmare. And C, it would just turn into a bloodbath and probably start a regional civil war, if not a national civil war. It's just part of it. So what they're going to start doing now, from a lot of people I've talked to that are in law enforcement, they're going to start getting you while you travel. When you travel through the states, if you're flying, if you're carrying it in your cars, any of this stuff now. And then what they're going to do inside the states. If you are, say, in New York, you're a New York resident, you have one of these guns, they already know you're on a list because they've already said 81,000 gun owners have not registered their firearms. Meaning, if you're in New York and you haven't registered your handgun, you're on the list. You are already on the list. What they're going to start doing now is they'll start picking and choosing. As soon as they pull you over for something, doesn't even have to be for a legitimate statute that you broke. They can say, Mr. John Smith, we pulled you over for basically you looked like you were swerving. Are you intoxicated? No, officer, I don't drink. Do you have any firearms in the vehicle? No, I don't have any firearms with me at all. Well, it looks like it's showing on my records you have a Glock 21 that you have not registered with the state, and it's showing here that you're basically delinquent in your timeline with registering it with the state. So I'm going to have to ask you to get out of the vehicle, put your hands behind your back, and you're under arrest for felony possession and basically not filing the registration on your firearm, and you're being charged with felony charges now. Well, I don't even have the gun with me. It doesn't matter. You failed to register it with the state. We're now charging you with a felony. So we're taking you to jail. You're going to have your wife bond you out. You're going to have to appear before the court, and you're basically going to have to defend yourself and try to get out of these charges with an attorney, spend tens of thousands of dollars, and tell us why you shouldn't become a convicted felon because you did not register your firearm with the state. that's what they're going to start doing in these states. That's the easiest way I've seen and everybody else has seen now to force compliance is through traveling on your way. Everybody has to travel. There's very few people that can literally sit in their house 24/7 up in North Fork, Montana, live in a generator and never leave their property for the rest of their life. That's a very, very small subsection of the entire United States. Most people have to travel at some point in time. So once they have these records set and you haven't registered a magazine, you haven't registered a handgun, or you have an assault weapon that you have not registered, bam, they pull you over. It doesn't even matter if you did anything wrong. They're going to turn your life upside down in order to force compliance. That's how they're going to start doing this stuff, as they're clearly doing it now with people that aren't even state residents. They're just trying to travel through these areas with legally acquired weapons. I remember Dad talked about it a couple years ago. I think it was, what, a ball player or something, Dad? He basically flew in to New York. He had a handgun with him. They took it down to the police department. He said, hey, I flew in on a private jet. Here's my handgun. You guys can hold it for the time I'm here for the game. I want to make sure you guys have it, though, and do everything by the law. They said, whoa. This is basically unregistered state of New York. You have high-capacity magazines. This is completely illegal to have here. This is a felony. We're arresting you, and we're taking possession of the weapon now. And he goes, I was trying to be in compliance. I'm trying to let you guys hold it while I'm here because I don't want to have any trouble. Doesn't matter. You had it in your hands when you walked into the police department. Bam, felony charges, confiscation of weapon. And now you have to defend yourself in court and prove why you're not a felon in possession of a firearm, essentially, Dad. It boggles my mind they're getting away with this, but they're actually starting to get away with it.
Well, I have a friend of mine, and, you know, known him for a while, and he had a child who basically had some issues, stole some stuff, and he took the child and turned the child in to the police to turn in the stuff. The kid's a minor, like, you know, 16 years old, 15 years old. And they arrested the kid on the spot after they assured him they would not and charged him as an adult. They set up a whole cascade of mess. And they were trying to do what was right and just return like some products or stuff that the kid had taken. I mean, here's the thing that you've got to understand. If you ever are going to talk to a police officer, number one, talk to your attorney first. I don't care what the deal is. Just talk to the attorney. If you get stopped for anything, the cop starts asking you police questions, just be very courteous to the police officer. They're just doing their job. And just say, look, officer, I really can't talk to you because my attorney's not present. You know, if you want to go out and, you know, have a pizza or whatever and you come by the house and watch some TV, you're more than welcome to. But, you know, as far as me discussing this with you, why a case is pending, I can't. Because anything that I say can and will be used against me in a court of law, I'm aware of that. So you'll need to talk to my attorney, please. And so I can't say anything else until my attorney's present. That's it. And shut up. You know, don't volunteer information to build a case against you or your other family members. That's really, really important. Just don't do that. If a person had a problem with somebody taking something and they wanted to return it, just drop it in the UPS bag or whatever and just send it on its way. Be done with it, or whatever you need to do. Just be done with it. Just send it back and say, okay, by the way, here's the laptop back or whatever it is or whatever you want to do with it. Or just put it in the person's mailbox who took it if you want to do that or whatever. But I mean, don't be going out and doing things that are illegal and then expecting the police officers just to forget about it because they're just doing their jobs. Especially in states like New York now, where they'll be pulling people over, and in California, if you're having high-capacity magazines, now you can't even buy ammo out of state in California anymore. I mean, all of these things are the road to tyranny. And again, this is what's so amazing to me with these stupid liberals, okay, is that they don't understand that when they have these laws passed in these liberal states, that all they do is tighten the noose on themselves while they're standing in the gallows. Because sooner or later, that same law or another law or something else they pass is going to come back and it's going to trip the switch and they're going to fall through the gallows with a rope around their neck. That's the problem with these liberals and these mindsets as far as the tyranny. This was wrong with communism. See, when the communists took over in Russia, the first thing they did, they got rid of the people that helped them become the rulers of Russia. They took the people out that were the ones that were involved in the revolution because they didn't want those people that were the drivers and the shakers and the movers coming in and throwing them back out. So they just start killing all the top people. I mean, Stalin himself, they ordered the execution of tens of thousands of his own troops in World War II if they didn't advance against the German artillery systems or against the machine guns. I mean, he would kill his own officers, for heaven's sakes, just because he could. And then put somebody else in their place. This is the mindset of this communist, Sabbatean Kabbalist, godless society that they're trying to implement across the entire planet by these never-ending stream of rules, regulations, statutes, and laws that no one can ever completely comply with. That's what I like about Trump. It's like every two or three statutes he does, he says you have to get rid of three of them for every one you put in or whatever. He's absolutely right. If we have that kind of mindset in New York or in Washington, D.C., and every time he passed a new law, you had to get rid of three old laws, we wouldn't have this massive bureaucracy. And the more they pass, the less we'd have. That'd be the way to do it. By the way, Naomi Prinz from Zero Hedge wrote a really good article, and I'm going to read you part of this. It says, during her last news conference in December, Janet Yellen stood firm on her record saying, the global economy is doing well. While attempting to lock in her record, Yellen urged, there's less to sleep about now, and then the markets were due for a correction. There turns to be which in turn out to be something worse, time will tell. In a recent article in Market Watch in 2018, it could be the year the stock market really screeches to a halt. The Fed, listen to this, here we go, same stuff I told you guys for the last 2 years. The Fed Reserve Bank has continued to provide what Naomi Prinz calls dark money to big Wall Street banks while they continue to buy back their shares. There you go. I told you this. Dark money comes from central banks. A lot of it is off-book balance sheets. Ultimately, central banks print money or electronically create funds to purchase bonds or stocks. They also use tools like adjusting interest rate policy and currency agreements with other central banks. Dark money then flows out to the biggest Wall Street banks and financial institutions, completely off the record in some cases, off the books. Policymakers set the tone for central bank fabrication and movements of money through markets, banks, and the world. Because of dark money provided by central banks, corporations have been piling on debt like arsonists hoarding lighters before fire. They've been using that debt to either service old debt or to buy back their own stocks. I've been telling you guys this. That move artificially elevates their share values and in turn makes more bond investors relish buying their debt. Apple, for example, has been one of the stalwarts that have been riding the borrowing bandwagon, looks to massively buy back their own stocks. Apple went as far as to issue $12 billion of debt in the last 4 months of 2017 in order to buy its own stock. I kid you not, guys. The entire U.S. primary corporate or debt market has been at record levels. There was $1.44 trillion of investment-grade issuance in 2017 compared with $1.34 trillion in 2016. There was $266.3 billion of high-yield issuances last year, the sector's fourth biggest year, period. The debt creation cannot sustain itself forever, and equity markets don't always follow right away, but eventually they will follow and they will fail. Guys, this is very, very important. Last week, the Fed's balance sheet reductions up to now have basically been a rounding error. But last week, the Fed sold $22 billion worth of assets. Is it a coincidence that stocks sold off? Guys, the Fed owns stock market. I've been telling you guys that for years. This is exactly what they did in the Weimar Republic. They bought up until they hyperinflated the currency. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you see right now. And at the same time, they're letting all the personal debt that everybody's holding, the credit cards, the auto loans, the student loans, all this stuff skyrocket. That way it's going to make the population more and more dependent and less likely to have any type of revolution because they're so concerned with basically being able to try and keep up with all their payments and all their bills and all their debt that's continually growing higher and higher and higher. It's really quite crazy. This is another article. It's a science article that I thought was pretty cool. I think it's something that we've been doing for a while now, but it just goes to show you. The reason why I brought it up is because of what I talked about yesterday with our dependent on these electric companies that are full-blown monopolies in a lot of areas like Central Florida with their insane meter reading charges and all this other nonsense they do. Researchers have now come up with a way that harvests energy from Earth by turning excess infrared radiation and wasted heat into electricity. The concept involves the physics of quantum tunneling, and a key to the idea is specifically designed antenna that can detect waste or infrared heat as high-frequency electromagnetic waves. They said there's actually a lot of energy going to waste on Earth. Most sunlight that hits the planet gets sucked up by surfaces, the ocean, and other atmosphere. This warming leads to a constant leak of infrared radiation that some estimate to be as much as millions of gigawatts every second. Because the infrared wavelengths are so short, to harness them you need super tiny antennas. According to an international team of researchers behind the study, it's quantum tunneling that can provide the breakthrough required. They said there's no commercial diode in the world that can operate at such high frequency. That's why we turn into quantitative tunneling. It was done out of the University of Science and Technology in Saudi Arabia. Now, I want to get your take on this, Dad. Do you think this has something to do with 5G, or do you think this is actually something very legitimate as far as for harvesting energy from the Earth like we've known about for years and years instead of being dependent on all these electric companies and gas and coal and everything else? Or is this some other weird off the world basically design that they're working with right now?
I have no idea, Austin. I've not heard of this particular topic, quantum tunneling. All I know is that the Tesla research from over 100 years ago showed that we could all have free electricity without coal, without fossil fuel. It's not fossil fuel anyhow. It's ridiculous. It's not dino. Coal doesn't come from dinosaurs. It's nonsense. But it was. But without the coal burning and without the oil burning, it's not that. The whole thing is basically, the energy that's in the atmosphere. Because of the ionosphere and because of the electromagnetic field around the planet creates a giant electrical field around the planet that can be easily tapped into and harvested for complete for free. This is what the Wardenclyffe Tower was trying to do in 1908. That's why some people believe that the Tunguska experiment that happened was what caused that massive blowout of all the force in Russia. I don't know. That's all speculation. They could never find the meteorite that supposedly did any of that stuff. And about the same time, they activated the Wardenclyffe Tower, some experts say. So I don't know, Austin. I know this, that there's absolutely no reason that we should have fossil fuel burning on this planet. There's no reason we should be burning gasoline or oil or diesel or any of this stuff. And don't get me wrong. I like high combustion, high powerful car engines. I like fast cars. I always have. But the reality is we don't need them. We can have fast cars that are electric cars. We don't need to have all of this atmospheric pollution going up into the air. The problem is the entire world runs on petrochemical production. And if we suddenly said, by the way, all the gasoline is going to be free, all of the electricity is going to be free, there would be huge sections of the population that would be out of work. And the Rothschild banking cartel, which has their fingers in all of this, these stinking blankety blanks, they would basically not have the revenue stream coming in like we talked about yesterday. Charging $16 per read every meter, and then they got smart meters. They don't even have to read the meters, and they still charge $16 per meter. It's ridiculous. I don't know. By the way, stock volatility is computer generated. It's a pretty good article. I want to read part of this by James Hall. And it says the actual productive economy has very little in common with the erratic and substantial movement in equity pricing on the major exchanges. There's no, basically, there's underlying thing that's doing this, and it's called exchange-traded funds, which are massively changed and traded via the computer systems in huge high-frequency trading. Now, number one, here's the first claim. EFTs are blindly pushing up stock prices. U.S. fund manager FPA Capital called EFTs a weapon of mass destruction and stated the flood of money into passive products is making stock prices move in lockstep and creating increasingly divorced from underlying fundamentals. Again, these are exchange-traded funds. Number two, ETFs will sell on mass and compound market falls. This is one of the known weaknesses of the managed fund sector is the ability for investors to easily redeem their funds. See, a lot of times this simply doesn't happen. Now, you guys can read this whole article yourself because I'm almost out of time for the show today. But it's an interesting article with these ETFs, and it makes a little bit of sense. But, guys, here's the thing. This thing is completely rigged. I'm going to say that very clearly. The entire stock market with these high-frequency traders is rigged for these big corporations and these big money moves that these guys do to manipulate currencies around the world, precious metal prices around the world, and stock prices around the world. And if you're lucky to catch one of the upwings when they do all of this stuff, you can go up with them. But the vast majority of time, remember, there's always a winner, there's always a loser in the stock market. It's basically like gambling. It's like playing the roulette. You're going to have winners, you're going to have losers. And the problem is, when you lose the money and you start losing large amounts of your capital and large amounts of your principal, it's very difficult to recover from that if it's been you put in there with after-tax income. It's very, very difficult. If it's pre-tax income, you still have the tax liability from it. That's a giant mess. So you guys be very, very careful right now with this extremely overbought and overtraded stock market and equity products that we're in right now. Just a word of warning there, guys. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, absolutely. My opinion is just stay out of it right now. There's absolutely nothing good, in my opinion, that's going to come out of it. It's not, the level of it going up and making any money right now, chances are very, very, very low, as we already saw with Bitcoin. That ship has sailed. So it's best just to basically, in my opinion, I like silver and gold and platinum. Always have, always will. They're always metals that you can hold in your hand. Also, too, this is some crazy news. In Africa, down in Cape Town, I saw this earlier today, in Cape Town, South Africa, residences are currently preparing for what they'd be calling maybe day zero. They're saying here that basically the city's water supply is getting dangerously low. They said the water levels are decreasing at such a rapid rate right now with such a drought that they've had. If the trend continues, the city is basically going to have no water in less than 3 months. They said if this happens, taps inside the homes and businesses will be shut down, forcing millions of the city's residents to wait in long lines for water rations. Obviously, you know where that would go. I said if day zero comes, they will be calling in the army. The fact this happening to Cape Town may come as a surprise, considering the fact that the city is known for its environmentally friendly policies. The region of South Africa is essentially growing drier and drier with each year, so care for water management is a must for Cape Town. Unfortunately, it seems as though those environmental policies have not been enough. I think a lot of this is having to do with the unbelievably strong weather modification and manipulation we've seen all over the country over the last 10 to 15 years. We've seen the same type of stuff here in Florida, California. I mean, they've had the droughts out there that are just insane. They've never been unprecedented. Florida, I mean, look at what happened in Texas as far as with the hurricane last year. We had the more hurricanes coming into Florida. If you don't believe that the CIA and other elements of the government have full access to weather modification tools and they know how to use them precisely, you're living under a rock. You haven't done any research, because this stuff is not any, this is not the 1960s anymore. This is not trying to make it rain in Vietnam. This is full-blown weather manipulation at the flick of a wrist. As soon as they want it done, it is done. So I don't know if people down in South Africa basically hacked off the globalists and now they've cut off their water, essentially making it a drier area, or if the globalists are trying to push people out of South Africa to take over their natural resources so they can come in and then do what they need to do. This is usually the agenda with a lot of stuff the globalists have done over the years. They've done this. You've seen it in Zimbabwe, perfect example. They go in, essentially loan the country massive amounts of money, hyperinflate the currency, use all the assets as collateral in the country. Then when the country essentially goes bankrupt, the globalists or the feds or the central banks come in and take control of all the assets in the country. This is textbook. This is what they do all the time. So I don't know if that's what's going on in South Africa, Dad, but that's definitely not a fun position to not have access to clean water anymore.
Well, South Africa is very rich in precious metals. It's very rich in diamond, gold, silver, a lot of diamonds. And, you know, quite frankly, the Beers Corporation is a Rothschild control group. Look it up. I can't even make this stuff up. And so what ends up happening is if these guys in that country are doing things that the Rothschilds don't want them to do, they just got to turn the spigot off so it doesn't rain anymore. That's all they got to do. And so then that'll force everybody. I mean, look at Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico decides it's not going to pay its doggone debt to the globalists, is $50 billion that it basically defaulted on, and all of a sudden Puerto Rico is no more. Just the island just got wiped away. By the way, Ron Paul explains what the FBI FISA memo really tells us about our government. This is a good article. This FISA memo demonstrates that there is a deep state that does not want mere elections to threaten its existence. Secondly, the memo shows us that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats care about surveillance abuse of average Americans. Thirdly, war hawks from both sides of the aisle are using Russiagate, this is the Republicans and the Democrats, to build animosity against Russia and to allow the United States to build bigger defense budgets for the military, feeding the military-industrial complex. Paul says, be skeptical of both parties. As you know, Ron Paul is a libertarian. I was his precinct captain here in Central Florida in 2008. Most people don't know that. I'm a big fan of Ron Paul. He was one of the only people that ever told the truth about the Federal Reserve in Washington. And, of course, he was pretty much eviscerated and marginalized because of his stand against all of the stuff that they did. So what's also is this. You know, the neoconservatives, the Zionists in both parties, they're going to soon find another excuse to keep us terrified and ready to flush away more and more trillions of dollars on military spending and continue
yep.
the arguments with the Cold War Russia. That's what they're going to do. Guys, they always have a boogeyman. Everybody has to have a boogeyman. We can't just be happy and live in peace. You got to have a boogeyman, because unless you got a boogeyman, unless you got a guy hiding under the bushes outside waiting to shoot you and your family, you don't want to take precautions as far as having bulletproof glass or having a gun in your house. Or if we all lived in peace and harmony with one another and we did what the Bible says, to love one another, then we wouldn't have the need to spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Look at HUD now. Look at the military. $20 trillion missing. Nobody knows where the money is. Now, that's what they tell us. They know exactly where the money is, and it's in deep black budget opportunities like deep underground military bases and the Star Wars weapon platforms they have all over outer space and the huge 5G satellite network they're installing in space right now to control every single person on this planet, to create us all, turn us into receiving sending units so that we all have an IP address. Guys, that's where it's headed. Hey, I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening to the show today. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for listening to me and Austin. And as we have our little, and by the way, Austin was right. He was talking about this yesterday. These are the same kind of discussions we have all the time off the air. This is what we talk about.
Yeah.
And so when you guys get involved with our conversations like this, it's like you're just part of the family. We're sitting around the fire, chit-chatting, having a cup of hot chocolate. I mean, that's how we look at you guys. You guys are our friends. I prayed again for you guys this morning. Pray that God continues to bless all of you, that He grants you peace, love, prosperity, and just a great life. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from Health Masters. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for signing up for our newsletters. Thanks for telling other people about the show today. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you for all the support you give us, the phone calls, the emails. You guys are great, as always. Be sure, if you need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. The product of the week, which ended up winning yesterday, I forgot to mention, was the stress control formula. That product's on sale for over 10% off. This formula, I have been told by numerous customers, coupled with the cortisol buster. So the stress control and cortisol buster are a really, really good stack for preventing stress and anxiety, or people that are having issues with a lot of that in their life. The cortisol buster helps to lower the cortisol, obviously, and the stress control helps to basically promote a sense of inner calmness, so to speak, and supports physical reserves and a healthy response to stress. So the Theranex stress control is on sale, over 10% off right now on the website. And of course, as always, we got a bunch of other good products that you can vote on as well to win next week on sale. And be sure, if you need anything, call us 1-800-726-1834. We also got the chocolate in stock, the dark chocolate, the 80% cacao extra dark pure chocolate out of Honduras. Really good product. It's selling a lot of it, so I went ahead and got a whole another order just in the other day, so we got a fresh batch of that if you guys need anything. So we appreciate it, guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.